And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about events that are happening in the news as globalism, the New World Order, the Great Reset, whatever name we want to give it at this point. It's known by a whole variety of names. The International Communist Plan to take over the planet, which is happening not just in our country, but we're watching it happen in other countries around the world, especially right now. The situation in Canada with the Grace Life Church there in Canada, where Pastor James Coates had been arrested and put in jail. And it's important to understand, if you go study that whole story, it's been going on for a little while now, but the church there had been complying with all of this COVID-19 regulation stuff for a while. And at a certain point, they just realized enough is enough. And so then the pastor's arrested. He's put in jail. He's eventually released, thank the Lord. But then the police show up there and they put up a fence around the church to block the church off so that Christians can't go there and serve and worship the Lord at their church. So then protesters show up and they tear down the police fence. And then they bring in several hundred police officers afterwards to put the fence back up. And then what we're hearing right now is the hundreds of Christians who turned out in the midst of all of this, and they're singing here, they're singing praises to God, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus loves me. But this is what's going on. This is one of the reasons why I remind people in my presentations on the history of the Bible of what the real Inquisition was. That people don't understand the Inquisition. Modern Christians, most Christians do not understand the Inquisition. They think the Inquisition was some kind of attempt at Christians trying to impose or to force Christianity on people. That is completely not the Inquisition. Remember, the Inquisition outlawed the Bible. The Inquisition outlawed the Ten Commandments. The Inquisition outlawed the preaching of the gospel. The Inquisition tried to forbid Christianity. And the reason I think this is important is once you understand the history of the Inquisition, the Counter-Reformation, and you realize that the Counter-Reformation was basically repackaged in the 19th century through social justice, socialism, and communism, and that the same elements at work in what we call Marxism today are essentially a repackaged form of the Inquisition. That's what it is. And that's why they go after Christianity. And they try to stop people from serving and worshiping God according to their own conscience. And they try to force you to believe things that you don't want to believe. That was the Inquisition. And the Inquisition wasn't trying to force Christianity on anybody. Quite the contrary. Forcing variant forms of superstition and idolatry that were denounced as the work of Antichrist collectively by the Reformation. That we have to understand. And that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with that spirit of Antichrist that is specifically targeting churches and those who have faith in God and looking for ways to undermine our Christian heritage, Christian teaching, God's law, how in the beginning God made them male and female, all of this transgender craziness that's going on, saying that there's 100 or 200, however many genders they're claiming that there are at this point. rather than simply male and female? And here, I wanted to play some audio. This is from an old BBC docudrama on George Orwell. And it's important to understand it's an actor here playing George Orwell. But they do this docudrama and they talk about Orwell's 1984 and his Animal Farm, but his final warning to the world and what he said. And while the person speaking here is an actor playing the role of Orwell, nevertheless, the words are the words of George Orwell himself. And I stumbled upon this. I wanted to share part of it on the radio program. Listen.
Something like 1984 could actually happen. This is the direction the world is going in at the present time. In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. But always, there will be the intoxication of power. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
All right. And so again, that was from a BBC 4 presentation that was called a BBC documentary called Orwell, A Life in Pictures. Orwell, A Life in Pictures. And the actor playing George Orwell, his name is Christopher Langham, an English writer, actor, comedian, etc. And so his is the voice that we're hearing there. But apparently the words are the words of the real George Orwell. Apparently the reason why they had to dramatize it is because there are no recordings or there's no film footage of Orwell himself talking on camera so that somebody could go and play clips of that. So they brought in an actor who actually does a great job. In fact, when I first saw him, I thought that was the real George Orwell. And then I started comparing it to photos of Orwell. And I thought, no, wait a minute, they've gotten an actor here. And but I think he does a good job, at least from the little bit that I've seen of the documentary. There are some who have asked the question about the documentary that was produced by the BBC in 2003. Since they are very much a part of this left-wing socialist Marxist advance, why would they produce a documentary on Orwell that seems like they're giving his warning to the rest of the world? And all I can do is speculate on this, because it is a good question. It's a very legitimate question. Everybody knows that the BBC is very left-wing. There's no question about that. But there's one of two possibilities, I think, at least two possibilities. One is that this is part of what all of these secret groups do. It's part of their history. It's the history of that which is hidden in plain sight. In other words, they tell you what they're going to do before they do it. And sometimes they'll tell you about it as some kind of a warning, kind of like the pandemic. They were warning about a coming pandemic for years in movies and all sorts of programs. You go back, watch the film V for Vendetta. If you watch V for Vendetta and the whole sequence for how the totalitarian society came to be in that film, it all begins with a virus that they call the St. Mary's virus. And that's what leads to certain forces in government cracking down and claiming more and more power and control over the people. And it leads to this totalitarian nightmare that they're in. And there's a whole series of other Hollywood films and TV shows and things like that that also talk about pandemics, communicating a lot of the elements that we see with the coronavirus and what government has done since 2020 with this whole pandemic that is called a plandemic by many people. So that's one possibility, that they're communicating in 2003 Orwell, because that's what they're planning to do here in the not too distant future. One possibility. The other possibility is that at that point, 2003, that the BBC may not have been as fully subverted by the globalists as it would become in the years that followed. And that's, I'm basing that on the fact that back in the 1980s, most of what we see and hear in terms of mainstream media, your movie companies, your news organizations, the programming, whether on television, the radio, or in the movie theater, whatever the case may be, was spread out among about 50 different companies that owned all the mainstream media outlets. Then what happened is from the 1980s onward, those companies were consolidated, they were bought up, and consolidated into six companies. So now you have six companies that control 90% of what you see and hear. It's why when you turn the channel, everybody's promoting the same thing. It's why all the channels, all the news organizations, directly or indirectly, are promoting things like gay marriage or trans rights, this things that are just completely unnatural and never before heard of in the history of Western civilization, and yet they're being promoted. The only way that would be possible, it'd be very difficult, I think, if not impossible, to get 50 separate companies to go along with that. But if they were consolidated down, and now you just have six people potentially in a room all coming to agree, okay, this is what we're going to promote, it's much more manageable. And there are certainly many people now who more so than ever before can see the warnings of 1984, George Orwell, the warnings of many of us who 10 years ago were all just called conspiracy theorists to think about a new world order, that this was something to be concerned about. In fact, our film Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, continues to be out there on the internet, a subject of interest. Even though we released that film back in 2003, the full title is Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, Bible Prophecy and the New World Order. The first half of the film, we talk about prophecy and we go over what the Bible says. But then the second half of the film is all on the history of globalism. And we just present one quote after another, after another, after another from all of these world leaders, people that you're very familiar with, and talking about the need for a one world order, a new world order, a one world order, a single system, a world government, over and over and over and over again. I mean, that's really what the 20th century was preoccupied with. It was preoccupied with a concept of world government. And so all of these connections had been made through things like the United Nations, the European Union, etc. All of these internationalist bodies developed. And now we are seeing the damaging fruit of all this consolidation of power. Because without it, you wouldn't be able to get away with something like COVID-19. Now that they've consolidated the information so that you've just got a handful of media companies that are controlling mainstream media, I mean, how else would they get away with ignoring literally thousands of doctors, nurses, medical professionals who have come forward to blow the whistle on this whole COVID-19 thing? And meanwhile, their experts are Dr. Fauci, who's been wrong about everything, and then Bill Gates, who never even graduated from college, doesn't have a medical degree. There's no logical reason to think that Gates is an authority on medicine and vaccinations and all the rest of this stuff. And yet, everybody else is pushed aside in favor of a handful of these doctors that have been lifted up. And their narrative is the one now that we're told, well, you have to believe what they say, even though they've been wrong about so many different things. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Joe Biden on the Second Amendment and his assertion that no amendment is absolute. What did he say? We're going to listen to the audio when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now, Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Joe Biden has now made statements. Now, people knew this was going to happen, that Biden was going to issue executive orders as president concerning the Second Amendment, because apparently he can't get anything processed through Congress, through the House and the Senate, even though the Democrats, interestingly, control both the House and the Senate. They're still not able to get enough of a consensus to agree on these Second Amendment issues, because they know how sensitive the subject is, even among people who are Democrats. There are many Democrats who do not want to lose the right to keep and bear arms, and they don't want to see it infringed. They value their right of self-defense and their right to defend this country, themselves, their families, etc., as much as anyone else. That's always been the problem in America for politicians or anyone else who has wanted to subvert the right to bear arms. But let's listen to what Joe Biden had to say and exactly what his comments were. Here it is.
Gun violence in this country is an epidemic, and it's an international embarrassment. Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about. But no amendment no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. We should also ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country. We should also eliminate gun manufacturers from the immunity they receive from the Congress. It passed not a single new federal law to reduce gun violence.
And that's, again, like we talked about, it's very difficult to develop these new laws because most people just don't want them. They're unnecessary. We don't need new laws where the Second Amendment is concerned. If anything, some of the red tape needs to be taken out of the way. Now, we've had some very good news here in Tennessee. Tennessee has now joined a list of other states, a grand total of 20 states in all. Tennessee is one out of 20 states that has now passed Constitution carry, which means that the Constitution is your permit to carry a firearm in the state of Tennessee. Now, apparently, it only applies to handguns and residents of the state of Tennessee based on what's being published online. That is, I think, a step in the right direction. The fact that 20 states now have what they call Constitution carry or permitless carry, which says that the Constitution is, I mean, the Constitution itself, the Second Amendment, is describing the right to keep and bear arms, meaning to have arms on you. That's what to bear arms means. And so many people have argued for years that the Second Amendment is really, that is your license to carry a firearm. And that it's simply not appropriate, that it's unconstitutional, that it's an infringement to require a permit. That has been an argument that has gone back and forth for many years in the country. And Tennessee has, at this point, under Governor Lee, has accepted the argument, which goes into effect July 1st, 2021. But you've got other states, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Utah, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And that's the list according to the USCCA website. But that's a step in the right direction. That's actually encouraging because it means things don't necessarily have to get worse when there are people. And I say that because I think in the Christian community, we can have this sort of Christian fatalism view of the world and history and how things are happening, and the idea that because we're headed toward the end times, that means everything's got to get worse and worse. And some things are going to get worse, we know that, but there's a struggle that goes on, I believe, right up until the Lord returns. And my study of church history and the history of the West, especially through the Dark Age and the Puritan era, our forefathers really, even though they had great struggles, great trials, and periods of tribulation and so on, they at the same time had a tremendous amount of hope toward God. That yes, that God through them, by their faith, could make things better. That things could be better if, and again, we find in the scripture, there are times when God's people, like if you read the book of Judges, where God's people are brought into a time of oppression and tyranny, but then God raises up a judge who delivers them, and then we read about how the land had peace for so many years, or the land had rest, I think is the phrase that's more often employed. The land had rest for so many years, and the impression we're given is that the land and the people living there, God's people, had a period where they were not enduring this kind of oppression and tribulation. But the problem is, historically, when the people of God prosper, that is when sin, rebellion, and idolatry creeps in. And that's, I think, the greater lesson of the book of Judges. If it were up to me, I would require that all of our young people be made to study the book of Judges when they were in high school. That would be required reading because it's the wisdom of the scripture and it's the belief of our forefathers. Our forefathers believed when a people forget God, that is when tyrants forge their chains. that tyranny is God's judgment upon a sinful nation. But our forefathers, as I've read them, they had, even though they recognized that, one of the most powerful sermons, I got to find this sermon, you guys, because I got to be able to give you the guy's name and the citation. It was one of those things I stumbled upon when I was doing my research for True Christian History of America. And I stumbled upon this sermon or essay that was written by a minister. And he was talking about the sins of the country. This is just prior to the American Revolution. And he's talking about how they've done everything they could do to try and avoid war. But that because of the sins of the country and the people, that God was not going to allow them, he believed, to avoid war. That they were going to have to go through a war because of their sins. But that they were well able to prevail, and that he believed, he had faith that God would see them through the trial and that they would prevail, that they would win in this fight against England. And it was just I've got to find this so I can read the wording here on the program, because it was such a remarkable thought process. On the one hand, he's recognizing that yes, the war is coming because of the sins of the people. He's not denying their sinful condition. But at the same time, he has hope that God will deliver them through it and that they will prevail. All right, so back to Joe Biden's executive actions here on the whole gun control issue. Even more concerning, I think, in my opinion right now, we'll see what happens, but even more concerning than Biden's executive order, because the executive order, as I understand it, has mainly to do with what they call ghost guns, which are guns that people make themselves. In fact, here, I'm going to give you the description from Newsweek. Newsweek has an article on this. They say, quote, ghost guns are self-assembled or handmade handguns that are unregistered, do not have serial numbers, and therefore cannot be traced. Okay. Now, the claim is that there's a growing number of these that are being used in violent crimes, supposedly. That's the claim. But it is a controversial claim, according to Wikipedia now. Wikipedia says this on the whole idea of a ghost gun. It says, quote, advocates say that ghost guns are rarely used in crime, despite widespread ownership. Gun rights advocates and law enforcement assert that due to the cost and effort required to make ghost guns, criminals prefer to steal the guns used in crimes, a fact borne out by DOJ statistics. Okay? So that's what Wikipedia says on this. But it's obviously a hot button issue right now. That's why Biden wrote this executive order on it. But he maintains that this is just the beginning of whatever it is that he has planned, he and the Democrats, really, and the globalists, and I think the Jesuits. Let's remember, the Jesuits now have for years been calling not just for more gun control, but to repeal the Second Amendment. To repeal the Second Amendment. If you don't know that article, look up America Magazine and the headline, Repeal the Second Amendment, came out years ago. That lets you know what the Jesuits and, I believe, the Vatican want to see happen here in the United States. Okay, now an even greater concern, in my opinion, is the person that Biden has chosen to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the ATF. The guy that he chose is David Chipman. David Chipman. David Chipman has a long history with the ATF. He was involved in the Ruby Ridge standoff years ago with Randy Weaver when his wife was shot by a sniper, shot and killed her while she was holding their young infant. His 14-year-old son was shot in the back while he was running away. So Chipman was involved in Ruby Ridge, and he was also involved in the Waco massacre, as they call it. The Ruby Ridge standoff and the Waco massacre. And Chipman was part of the ATF. He was on the scene with both of those events. Now, this is the guy that Biden has chosen to be in charge of the ATF. Then you add to that the fact that Chipman is considered a big-time anti-gunner. There's an article here from the Washington Free Beacon. The headline says, quote, Biden ATF nominee has long history of anti-gun statements as an ATF agent. That's very, very concerning that you've got somebody like that. See, I personally believe, it is my own personal view, that people who are diametrically opposed to constitutional principles should not be allowed to run for office or to hold any office in government, because it's virtually impossible for people like that to raise their hand and swear that they're going to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And it is very disturbing. It's become a habit. Our country has been entered into a perilous time, as the scripture warns, in the last days, perilous times would come. And that's what we're looking at. Why? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that's a very interesting thought there. I mean, on the one hand, I agree with those who say that countries get the governments they deserve. I think it's just undeniable, because if we search the scripture, it's very clear that corrupt leaders are often a judgment from God. I think it was R.C. Sproul who said, he was asked a question at one point, I'm drawing this from memory now, where somebody asked, why do bad things happen to good people? And Sproul's answer was something to the effect of, well, there was only one. Right? There is none good except one, that is God. Of course, we believe Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And he said, the real question is, why do good things happen to people who are so bad? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so Sproul, he turned it around based on biblical principles. But the scripture tells us that the Lord has not chastened us. He's not punished us as we deserve. In other words, we deserve worse. But God in his mercy, God chastens us as a father chastens his own son, his own child. Why? Because he loves us. So praise the Lord. So while we are in the midst of these perilous times and we're trying to navigate through what we ought to do, we've got to lift our eyes to heaven. We got to remember that our redemption draws nigh and seek the Lord through prayer and through the Holy Scripture for what we ought to do in the times in which we live. Now, I'll tell you, if you go to, well, you can go to our website and you can find copies of our film, The True Christian History of America. I'll tell you, on Amazon, the film is doing well overall on Amazon. If any of you are inclined to go there and write a review, that would certainly be helpful for us and our ministry to continue to get the word out about the film. But somebody published words to the effect that you better watch this before they take it down, because this is exactly the kind of understanding of history that the globalists don't want people to have. But what it shows is a history of the faith of our forefathers going back to Europe, going back to England, going back to the time of the Reformation and even before the Reformation, and what those arguments were taken from the Bible, taken chiefly from the Bible, brethren. Right now, I'm going over again. I had read parts of it. I quote from it in our film, the Vindicae Contra Tyrannus, which is the well-known Huguenot document. It means a defense of liberty against tyranny that was written after the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre. But you read that work and it is one biblical argument after another, after another, after another. And that is said to have been a chief influence over our forefathers just prior to the American Revolution. And so I think it's very, very important that we consider the wisdom of our forefathers, especially where it is grounded and rooted in the Word of God. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.